Claire, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning. Now, as we mentioned, the agreement aims to strengthen an accord known as Le Touquet, signed in 2003. Just to give us a brief understanding, what is the Le Touquet Accord?
Look, it's essentially an agreement between Britain and France that was signed by Chirac and Blair. And it was a response to increasing numbers of refugees who were gathering in the Calais area seeking refuge in Britain, so using that as a transit point. And of course, as we know, with the tunnel, that became sort of offered new possibilities for people to move across without necessarily having prior sort of processing. So the agreement was a response by both nations to try and establish some sort of cooperative arrangements, generally directed at with Britain devoting considerable funds towards having their own offices and representatives in Calais processing refugees in France. So actually what we saw was a presence of British officials in that region doing a lot of the processing, but also paying for sort of certain border security measures.
With Calais, some people have said that it is becoming something of a bottleneck for a great deal of refugees. This new treaty, what is it actually entailing that's going to change the situation?
Well, to begin with, we do know that, there were up to sort of 10,000 people in what was referred to as the jungle. You might know of sort of that reference to the camp at Calais. That was bulldozed recently, so there are a lot of people displaced. There were numbers still remaining. It still is a sort of a difficult, as you said, sort of point at which refugees gather to try and get access to or to transit to Britain. But there's already been sort of the French government's taken some quite harsh measures to disperse people from that area. What the new agreement is aiming at is a huge beef up in money paid by Britain to the French government for things like a 1 kilometre concrete wall, increased surveillance technologies, increased border controls, and also for some resettlement of people from that area of France to elsewhere within the country. So it's a huge increase, I think sort of something like over £40 million increase in funds from the British government to the French government to try and beef up border control measures. The British government has said in return for sort of that limits on people moving from France to Britain, they will take an increased number of what they call legitimate processed asylum seekers, and they'll also increase the numbers of unaccompanied minors and family reunion placements they'll take.
Just thinking, when you speak about this kind of situation, the obvious comparison that kind of jumps to mind would be the situation between Australia and Papua New Guinea. Australia pays Papua New Guinea a great deal of money to almost take our refugee problem out of Australian hands. Would you say these kind of agreements are actually fairly atypical in terms of what Western nations' responses to refugee movement?
I think they're becoming less atypical. I think there's some important differences between the French and British agreement and the agreement that Australia has with PNG. The Australian agreement is much more punitive and much more blatantly designed to adopt a punitive approach to anyone who comes without, that doesn't come through the sort of inverted commas proper means. But certainly these sorts of deals are becoming a more prominent sort of feature of border control, particularly by Western nations. If we look at the sort of the deals and arrangements that have been done by Australia and the US, even by Australia and Cambodia, in terms of paying other governments money for taking refugees. So there's sort of this almost exchange of refugees. They have this sort of a monetary value now attached to the whole processing mechanism involving sort of particular types of refugees. refugees. We're talking typically about those who don't go through what's called the sort of authorised channels, waiting for processing, often for prolonged periods.
I can't imagine in any of these regions these kind of deals that are being made are beneficial in any way to the refugees themselves. And by the sound of things, this new deal, is that really going to be seeing the refugees in any way gaining a better sort of situation?
Look, it will for some. For some, there will be some benefits. Certainly, that's my initial reading of it, though it's really hard to say. And as I said, I haven't had a close read of the precise terms of the modified agreement, or we'll wait to see how that plays out in the future. There will be some improvements, but of course, what I'm concerned about is the sort of trade-off that we see that occurs with those improvements, which is a much more sort of militarised, securitised response to the border. So a real beefing up of very strong surveillance policing sort of strategies in relation to those forms of movement. I mean, I might add that one of the things that's created, led to some of these concerns is the development of the tunnel between the UK and France.
Mm.
And a number of commentators, one academic in particular, Anne McNevin, and others have talked about the way in which contemporary circumstances see increased privileging of certain types of movement of goods and services, and alongside increasing controls over other forms of movement. And I think that's what we're witnessing in relation to refugees coming across from Syria, Sudan, and many other sort of troubled spots within the globe. And of course, we haven't even, touched on the regional responses or lack of response to the Rohingya situation at the moment.
Mm. I mean, in any case, you would have to say from a metaphorical point of view, there would certainly be a fairly big distinction between building a tunnel, building a bridge, or, as you mentioned in this new agreement, building a border wall.
We'll be able to, yeah. And of course, we're seeing a sort of a plethora of walls, and we hear a lot about the Trump wall, but, that's one example of many, and there have been a number of scholars working on this, tracking the sort of increasing use of walls as a form of border security.
Claire, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time
this
morning.
Okay, thanks very much.